This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:35. West Virginia Board of Education members unanimously approved a new school's chief who will take the post starting next week. On Monday, current superintendent Dr. James Ferris will retire. But as Ashton Mara reports, the man filling his shoes is a familiar face to the department.
The board met at the Marriott in Charleston to name a replacement for their state school's chief, and after more than 8 hours, came to the following conclusion.
Madam President, I'd like to make a motion to employ Charles Heinlein as state superintendent of schools.
Now, if you're not deeply embedded in the state education system, that might be a new name to you. But to others, Charles Heinlein is a name they've known for years. He currently serves as deputy superintendent, but has spent decades in the West Virginia education system. But the state didn't pay more than $40,000 for their nationwide search to hire the number two guy already at the department. At least that's what Board President Gail Manchin seems to imply when she says the search will continue. Monday, the board interviewed three finalists for the position, narrowed down from 64 applicants. The controversy surrounding the search, however, is the lack of transparency. Manchin says the board has not announced the names of the finalists or any details about them because they already have jobs. The board has agreed to keep them confidential to not risk their current positions.
And this is not uncommon. I mean, the search firm, it's just, I think in West Virginia, it has been an oddity because it was never done that way before.
So while Manchin says there is no set deadline to name a new long-term superintendent, she says it will happen in a, quote, reasonable amount of time. The board has scheduled its next meeting to discuss the post for July 1st. Heinlein will take his new position that same day and assume his new annual salary of $165,000 a year. Heinlein has served as a short-term state superintendent in the past. He filled the seat for 8 weeks when Jeria Marple was fired in a surprise vote by the board in the fall of 2008. Ferris then took the seat in November of that year. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Encouraging educators from across the state to adopt new teaching and new learning opportunities is the focus of a three-day conference hosted by the West Virginia Center for Professional Development. It's called Infusing Technology. As Liz McCormick reports, its overall theme is for educators to learn how to effectively teach in a digital age.
The Infusing Technology Conference welcomed approximately 100 educators from across West Virginia. The event will host more than 40 sessions during the three-day conference to help teachers bring technology into all aspects of their teaching. That includes classroom management, lesson planning, and project-based learning. Keeping students engaged during this technological boom and making the criteria personalized for them is the overall goal. Michelle Tharp, the coordinator for technology integration at the West Virginia Center for Professional Development, says teachers have to keep up with their students.
So what we've seen is that our students aren't engaged with worksheets anymore. They don't want to be a part of a flat piece of paper. You know, instead of doing a book report on a piece of paper that only their teacher may see or maybe their parent may see, they can do, you know, a book report and have it to be oral and have it to be videoed and then on YouTube and the whole world could see. So it's much more engaging. They want to engage in that digital global world, and we have to be a part of that to inspire them.
This three-day training will focus specifically on a variety of iPad apps and resources that have been used effectively by other educators in their classrooms. Instruction will also introduce the web-based equivalent for those apps, so that teachers relying on computers rather than iPads may still use the resources. But iPads are heavily encouraged.
For me, with iPad tablet technology, it's accessibility. So when we talk about a mobile tablet technology, that student has access to all the resources that are available. I mean, that to me is just amazing. And then before our students come to us as a young toddler, their whole entire learning process is through exploring their environment. And then we ask them, this is the only time you learn, and then they're done. And so what we're saying, no, we want you to continue that lifelong journey and be inspired to want to learn more. And by giving them that mobile technology, they can access whatever they want at home.
Linda Mundy, a fifth grade teacher at Cross Lanes Elementary School in Kanawha County, will be entering her 41st year teaching. She is very eager for the technological advance and push for iPads in classrooms. She notes that during this past year, she had 10 iPads in her classroom.
It's a time when we can be exposed to a lot of different apps and strategies to hone or broaden our horizons and ways to reach out and motivate our students, and a way to see the bigger picture in all of this, because it is a digital world, and this is the way the children see things, and a way to reach these children, not a paper pencil world anymore.
Kanawha County is said to be providing iPads for all middle and high school students during the upcoming year, and as a result, teachers and administrators are seeking more training to fully utilize these technologies. This year's Infusing Technology Conference will conclude with sessions on digital storytelling, among other things. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:41. Rain and thunderstorms are likely today. Temperatures in the 70s to around 80 degrees. Rain and thunderstorms overnight with areas of fog after midnight. Lows tonight in the 60s. Partly sunny on Thursday with temperatures remaining in the 70s and 80s.
Support provided by the High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont, online at WVHTF.org.
There's a growing number of people in Morgantown that want the city to do something about the industrial truck traffic moving through downtown. As Beneduccio reports, they're making a case to the city council.
It's very common to see industrial truck traffic rumbling through the streets of downtown Morgantown on any given day. Coal trucks and limestone trucks, along with other industrial vehicles, come through to head to other locations either in town or out of town. For years, residents in Morgantown have been frustrated by the truck traffic, the noise they make, and also the impact on the air quality. A group of residents have joined together, named themselves Safe Streets Morgantown, and they are pushing the city council to adopt a new ordinance restricting truck traffic downtown. Brian McAllister is a Morgantown resident, lawyer, and member of Safe Streets.
You know, we pay for these streets, too. And we wake up early in the morning listening to these trucks rumbling through our neighborhoods. We breathe in the air, the diesel exhaust. And our business owners are cleaning the soot off of their buildings.
This proposal would essentially impose restrictions on trucks that weigh more than 20,000 pounds of gross weight, according to West Virginia State Code, and have at least three axles. They wouldn't be able to drive through the downtown district of Morgantown. McAllister says most of the trucks that come through downtown won't be affected.
Now, if you are a downtown business and you rely on deliveries of merchandise, that's exception number one. Business as usual for our folks downtown. The operation of emergency or military vehicles, also no impact. The operation of governmental or quasi-governmental vehicles and the performance of official functions or duties, also not impacted.
Other exceptions include solid waste disposal vehicles, vehicles used for towing, vehicles on an established detour, and the final one allows the city manager to exercise some of his power.
And then there's number seven, which allows for the city manager to employ the discretion that he's always employed in similar contexts in relation to the issuance of special permits. So let's say you're a contractor and you're building in Morgantown. Well, we know we're growing. We want to promote that growth. We don't want to in any way inhibit that growth. So if you're the contractor and you know you've got heavy trucks coming in or trucks that meet the definition of heavy trucks, you go to the city manager and you say, look, I need a special permit for the pendency of my construction project, and you go ahead. You do what you need to do.
This was tried before. It didn't work. The industrial community wasn't happy with the idea, and McAllister says there wasn't an effective argument made by the community. But in recent years, Morgantown adopted a comprehensive plan for the future and a downtown strategic plan. McAllister sees these as steps in the right direction.
We as a community have clearly advanced certain policy priorities since the time that we addressed this issue last. And we've got an absolutely plain meaning interpretation of the West Virginia Code, which allows us to move forward.
He points to Chapter 17 of the West Virginia Code. One particular section he notes is 17C-17-12. It reads, "Local authorities with respect to highways under their jurisdiction may also, by ordinance or resolution, prohibit the operation of trucks or other commercial vehicles, or may impose limitations as to the weight thereof on designated highways, which prohibitions and limitations shall be designated by appropriate signs placed on such highways." This specific proposal presented by Safe Streets would only restrict truck traffic in the downtown area of Morgantown.
We never addressed or never considered a broad sweeping regulation. We always wanted to be sure that the proposal was tailored to the conditions on the ground, and specifically those conditions that we seek to remedy. So therefore, the traffic, the movement of the heavy trucks through our Route 7 corridor and through our downtown business district, that was always the target. And the reason is because that is what is having such a negative impact on our community today.
One person who lives in the community today is Don Spencer. He's a former member of the Morgantown City Council. He was on the council nearly a decade ago, the last time Morgantown looked at doing something like this.
I think that one of the problems that we had at that time was that I think we were not correctly advised on, the council was not correctly advised on the actual wording of the state code. I think if we had thoroughly read the material ourselves rather than operating on the advice of advisors, that we would have been able to see our way clear to a stronger position on that ordinance that was being considered.
Spencer says he would support an ordinance like the one Safe Streets wants if he were on council today. Greer Industries uses many of the trucks that would be affected by the ordinance. Industrial trucks travel to and from Greer locations outside of Morgantown. In the past, Greer has objected to these types of regulations. According to media reports, Greer is keeping an eye on the progress of the proposal. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.